You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking New York Mets with MLB.com's Mets beat reporter, Anthony DiComo. So we've been waiting and waiting and waiting to see a Dylan G trade, and it was coming, and it was coming, and now it's not coming, maybe? Where does that stand right now?
Yeah, that's pretty much as good as I could describe it. You know, it's the one move that really since December we've all been waiting for, and it seems very likely. Sandy Ellerson hasn't really disguised it. He's put Dylan G out there, along with, to a lesser extent, John Neese and Bartolo Colon, but G's the guy they were really looking to trade. And, you know, it seems like they weren't looking for a ton, but maybe they wound up, they were looking for more than we thought because they hadn't gotten an offer. And now we've reached a point in the offseason where most of the free agents are signed, James Shields being the prominent exception. Even the lesser guys for the most part are signed. You've seen some trades. So the teams that were out there that were looking for rotation help, by and large, have found it. Which could make it a situation now where the Mets are going to hang on to Dylan G. And that's going to be an issue in spring training. They're going to have six guys for five spots. And it would look like G would probably be the odd man out in that. And, you know, you could stick him in the bullpen. He's making about $5 million this year, which is probably more than you'd want to allot for a long reliever with a $100 million payroll. But it looks like that's what the Mets may wind up doing. I wouldn't rule out a trade these last few weeks of spring training, but it certainly seems a lot less likely than it was coming out of the chute a couple of months ago.
Do you think there's some kind of baseball case here for holding on to this guy? I mean, I know there's a lot in the pipeline, but there's also a lot of sort of uncertainty regarding what goes on beyond the front of this rotation. There's a lot of just sort of not really sure what you're going to get from the kids. You know, the way to develop one pitcher is to have 10 prospects. For a team that has designs on competing, do you think there really is an argument to be said that, look, I know it's a little awkward at first, but nobody goes through a season only using five starters, and maybe if you don't actually need the money and maybe you're not getting a guy who helps you win this year, maybe what you do is, in fact, just say, okay, we got six starters and let it work itself out?
Sure. And my personal opinion from the start was that they really didn't need to be doing this for just those reasons. The Mets have sort of justified it or justified their search by saying, you know, we have Noah Syndergaard down there. We have Rafael Montero. We have Steven Matz, who should be ready, you know, by the middle end of the season. So we've got that depth that teams don't have, and G's really just excess at this point. You know, you can argue that trading G, and I know a lot of fans would like the payroll to be well higher than it is, but that's just not going to happen. So the argument for trading G is that's $5 million that you can spend at the trade deadline on something that you really need at that point. But personally, I'm with you. Yeah, I'd rather have as many starters as possible. You know, someone is going to get hurt, probably more than one person. There's going to be things that happen. And if by some miracle, you know, you have this problem where you've got nine starters who are all major league ready and ready to go in the middle of the season, maybe the market for G is better then than it is now. So I'm with you. I would keep the guy. I would stick him in the bullpen. Yeah, there'll be some hurt feelings, but this is the major leagues, and that's not really how teams should be conducting business, is based on hurt feelings. So, it's definitely a baseball factor there that you can say the Mets are better off keeping him.
We've talked a lot about it. There's probably no topic we've talked about more than shortstop and Wilmer Flores, but you addressed it again recently in an Around the Horn piece. We're just about at spring training, and there's still not another shortstop on the roster, still not another shortstop who's been brought in. I feel like we can't not ask it at this point, but Wilmer Flores goes into camp as the shortstop, or is there any kind of complications beyond that?
No, I mean, he's the guy, and it's funny because, you know, in talking with Sandy Ellerson, he laughed a couple of weeks ago when I was talking to him because I said, you know, the same thing, I have to ask you, and I know that you said in September that Wilmer Flores is probably going to be the shortstop, and I know that you said it in October, and then in November, and then in December, and then in January. But, you know, everyone was just sort of waiting. A lot of people maybe crossing their fingers, or a lot of people just curious to see what the Mets did, if they would swing a trade or if they would go out and sign someone. It's not happening. It hasn't happened. It certainly doesn't look like it's going to happen. So Wilmer Flores is going to be that guy. He's been down in Florida probably about for a month already, working out with the training system they have there, the Mike Barwitz methods, which is a new complex they opened up down there. And it's the same sort of regimen that he was on in Michigan last year when he went up for a couple weeks during the winter. He got a lot out of that. He really swears by it. He came to camp thinner, leaner, and really had a good season. He struggled a little bit when he came up, but finished strong in September offensively, and defensively he held his own. So, you know, the argument that it's going to work out is that he can do just that, hold his own, and really be elite offensively for the position. He's a guy who profiles as maybe hitting in that 260 to 270 range, 16 home runs, something like that, which would be a nice boost at the bottom of their lineup. Now, is it a house of cards that could come falling down? You know, if he's just a disaster defensively at shortstop, or even if he doesn't hit, which is possible. Sure, of course. But given the alternatives that were out there, the Mets overturned a lot of stones and decided that sticking with Wilmer was their best option. So, yeah, that's what it's going to be. That's the guy you're going to see out there come opening day.
And you touched on what, to me at this point, is probably the most interesting story about Flores, which is the conditioning thing. I mean, how much of a difference has it made and could it make going forward to his viability as a shortstop if he is able to continue to maintain and maybe even improve his fitness, his movement, his essentially just his build?
Yeah, I mean, quickness, flexibility, all that is part of it. All that is stuff that he really got a lot better at last year. And a lot of these Mets guys are swearing by this system that they're all using now, or a large part of the roster is using. And I know there's some stories out there about Mets guys who are paying for the service, even though it's at the Mets complex. And you know, it was a little bit of a mini controversy a while back. But the fact is, a lot of these guys really like the system. A lot of these guys have chosen to go down to Florida months early so that they can train here, as opposed to paying for their own personal trainer back home. And, you know, Lucas Duda is sort of the poster child of this whole thing. He spent a lot of time working with Mike Barwitz last winter and wound up having a career year. And Flores, too. You know, Flores really broke out 2 years ago in the minors and held on to his gains last year while getting better defensively. So, yeah, I mean, that's really just sort of what they're hoping for, is that a continuation of that he comes into camp even more in shape, even more flexible, maybe adding a little bit of muscle while staying quick, staying agile. And those are the things that can only help the shortstop, because, you know, really, this is a guy who came up as a shortstop in the minor leagues. All along, scouts said he's too big, he's too awkward, he'll never stay there. And it almost became a self-fulfilling prophecy for him. Whereas, you know, now that he's back at the position after playing second base and third base for a long while, you know, you wonder, why couldn't this guy play? He seems, and not that he's ever going to be Omar Vizquel out there, but he seems to have a handle for the routine plays. He's not going to be spectacular. But the Mets don't need him to be. As long as he hits and as long as he does make those routine plays and doesn't kill you on defense, you know, I think it's a risk the Mets are clearly willing to take.
Do you think there's any more, not big moves, but any more kind of housekeeping around the edges moves that this club might make before camp opens, bench, bullpen, anything like that?
Really, no. This, you know, I've been covering the team for, geez, I don't know, 6-7 years now, and this is the most remarkably set roster I've ever seen going into spring training. The lineup 1-8 is set. The bench is pretty much set with really no competitions at all on the bench. The rotation, you know, might have a little question now with Dylan G in there, but, you know, the top five and top six in that depth chart is pretty obvious. And the bullpen, you know, they've got their top five guys, not even counting Bobby Parnell, who probably won't be healthy to start the season, in place already. So in terms of major position battles, sort of drama going into spring training, there's really nothing. They might add a couple more relievers on minor league deals. They might add a bench guy or something to compete. But really, anything they do at this point forward, barring a surprise Dylan G trade, will just be to add organizational depth to fill out those minor league depth charts and all that. You know, really going into spring training, all the drama is going to come from one guy, and that's Matt Harvey. You know, how is he going to fit? Are the Mets going to start him opening day or look elsewhere? What are they going to do to limit his innings? Pretty much all of that drama that usually revolves around roster spots and who's going to do this and who's going to play where is going to settle on Matt Harvey, and you're going to see a lot of storylines coming out of that in the next few weeks and months.
Sounds like fun. Anthony DiComo, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.